All right, listen, let me jump over here. Time for the Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll just remind you guys that Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a lot of ground in North Alabama, Southern Immediate Care in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. They are all open 7 days a week. They will see all ages at every location. And yeah, Southern Immediate Care is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. All right. There's a bill right now going through the state legislature, right? Deals with things like drag queens, you know, and not grooming kids. Like, if there's a reason why you want to be sexually perverse in front of children, how about you rethink yourself, because we're tightening up the laws. And we need to. We absolutely need to. It's amazing, too, how certain things have become acceptable and certain things have also fallen from acceptance. I mean, culture has a way of shifting with the winds, and it's not always a good thing. The fickle whims of culture should never be a measuring stick for what is right. If it were, the left would have trashed the Constitution years ago. I remember that both my grandfathers were smokers. They were. It was from an era in which smoking cigarettes was just the thing. I remember that they both had strokes in their later years, and they both quit smoking overnight. But my maternal grandfather, on my mom's side, he smoked Bel Airs. I remember that the packs all came with a Raleigh Bel Air coupon. If you saved them up, you could buy some pretty cool stuff from the Raleigh Bel Air catalog. My paternal grandfather, on the other hand, he smoked filterless Camels. They were rough. Don't ask me how I know. It's not like I never snuck a smoke or two out back of the house when I was 11 years old or something silly like that. I mean, come on. But my granddaddy, yeah, my dad's side, he smoked those Camels regularly, but granny made him sit out on the porch and not smoke them inside. Both brands marketed their wares to just the kind of men that my grandfathers really were. The Bel Airs that my grandfather on the mom's side smoked were endorsed by movie tough guy Lee Marvin, but yet they had kind of a sharp image and a progressive futuristic logo. Just right for my grandfather, who was an army general and engineer who worked on missiles and the original hydrogen bombs. Camels, on the other hand, were tough and no-nonsense, filterless, and kind of a working man's smoke. Also fitting then for my grandfather on my dad's side, who was a steel worker and grew up in a big family in the hard-scrabble Depression-era South. Now, marketing is everything, right? And cigarettes are really no different than any other product in trying to find a way to appeal to a broad audience in a competitive market. And in that vein, along came a suave and debonair dude. The guy that every guy wanted to be like. He had all the ladies, all the cool factor. He drove the best cars. He was like James Bond, the Marlboro Man, and Audie Murphy all rolled into one. He was also a cartoon character, designed to sell cigarettes. And his name was simply Joe the Camel. So Joe Camel was the branding mascot for Camel cigarettes. He was first used in Europe in the mid-70s, but he burst onto the U.S. advertising scene in 1988. Immediately became one of the most recognized advertising images. At one point, the Journal of the American Medical Association conducted a study and found that Joe Camel was instantly recognizable by 91% of all children who participated in the study, second only to Mickey Mouse. And the same children associated Joe Camel with cigarettes. Within 3 years of Joe Camel becoming synonymous with Camel cigarettes, another study concluded that Camel's underage smokers had grown in number by 38%. Okay. In 1992, a San Francisco attorney filed suit against R.J. Reynolds Tobacco, the parent company of Camel, alleging that the Camel was in fact targeting underage citizens with the sole intent of increasing market share among teens. Okay, within the text of the suit against the tobacco giant was the allegation that Reynolds Tobacco had grown their profits from underage smokers from $6 million to $476 million in just 4 years. Democrat California Congressman Henry Waxman, he pressed Congress to take action, which resulted in the Federal Trade Commission conducting three separate investigations over several years, eventually resulting in a finding that R.J. Reynolds had unreasonably and knowingly targeted underage citizens. But then the smoking gun emerged. In the mid-90s, an older 1974 R.J. Reynolds internal marketing department presentation, the very first section in it, dealt with targeting young voters ages 14 and up. Yeah, it did. It talked about, quote, the growing importance of the young adult in the tobacco market, that this age group would represent 27% of the adult market by 1975. It said that, quote, these are the smokers of tomorrow. Wow. So in 1997, R.J. Reynolds retired Joe the Camel. They went back to more mundane and historical images of a simple, more true-to-life representation of a camel. Joe the Camel outraged the authorities. His influence on children was seen as dangerous. The intent of having a likable, cartoonish mascot was simply to cultivate a strong first and early impression and to create what R.J. Reynolds' own study designated as the smokers of tomorrow. Isn't it amazing, though? I mean, don't you wish that the worst thing upon us these days was the idea of a cartoon camel encouraging kids to smoke? I find it deeply disturbing that in my lifetime, it was a lawyer and a congressman, both from California, who saw fit to lead a charge against a major corporate entity because they felt the corporation was enticing kids, trying to lure kids into a lifestyle, literally grooming kids to be the next generation of smokers. And yet now we have drag queens performing at so-called family-friendly events, and we're told that to question it is like tantamount to domestic terrorism. Parents and citizens who dare to question, complain, or worse yet, protest against the idea of men cross-dressing and hypersexualized women's clothes with exaggerated female characteristics. I mean, like literally lampooning and objectifying women. Dancing provocatively while making lewd remarks. That somehow to oppose that distorted behavior is like a gross affront to the rights of the gay community. Never mind the simple fact, a fact that requires very little effort to mentally assent to, that parents should always be wary of men who dress as women and dance and speak provocatively to children. Just saying. There's nothing normal or comfortable about any of it. And yet they come, often by invitation, to schools and libraries and community centers, and they host drag queen story hours. And has anyone ever asked why the makeup is needed to read stories? I mean, if you're not really about the reading, just say so. But everyone knows that they're doing it for the simple and clearly stated purpose of grooming the next generation. They are attempting to normalize abnormal and unhealthy behavior. How do I know this? Because they say so themselves. It's no secret. You can see the mission statement on the national website of the Organization of the Drag Queen Story Hour. It reads this way. You ready? Quote, "Storytellers using the art of drag to read books to kids in libraries, schools, and bookstores. Drag Queen Story Hour captures the imagination and play of the gender fluidity of childhood and gives kids glamorous and positive and unabashedly queer role models. In spaces like this, kids are able to see people who defy rigid gender restrictions and imagine a world where everyone can be their authentic selves." End quote. Look, the concept of being a role model is to encourage others to emulate behavior, to follow the example set by the role model. In short, the leadership of Drag Queen Story Hour admits that their sole purpose is to create the next generation of drag queens. So ask yourself, how is this any different than Joe the Camel? And yet, holy smokes, pun intended, how I wish that Joe the Camel was all that we had to worry about. Have we as a nation gone so far down the path of depravity and indifference that we don't see the irony in knowing that Joe the Camel is considered bad, but men dressed up as women performing sex acts in front of children is not? Joe the Camel has got nothing on drag queens, and he's probably less harmful. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, I mean, the more I thought about it and did the research on it, the idea that just not so long ago, Joe the Camel was considered like harmful to children. How dare you groom children to be the future smokers? And now we got Drag Queen Story Hour projecting themselves as the role models for the next generation of drag queens. It's messed up and it needs to stop. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.